It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Let me show you what this line looks like this morning. Even in just the time we've been here, it's nearly doubled. Hundreds of people have been out here for hours, including these ladies. We have Maria, Nancy, and Jenny, all from Florida. They got here yesterday at 3:30 in the afternoon. So, Maria, why are you here? Why are you camping out?
To support our president. This is a bucket list item. And to support Walk Away. We're all former Dems.
Nancy, yeah. What do you want to hear tonight from the president?
I just love the fact that he unites everybody. And it's like a rock concert. You get so excited. And I just think that what I want to hear is what he has planned for everybody to move forward, you know?
Yeah.
He does such a good job at getting things done. Show the game plan.
Yes.
Let us know what's the next step. Get us jazzed up, because we already are. But we just don't want it to stop.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Jenny, you've been here also all morning. What does it mean to you, real quickly, to be here?
Oh, I'm real excited to be here. I can't wait for
just so excited. And guys, they have been here all morning. They're going to be here all day, all trying to get one of those 20,000 spots. They'll be here.
Some of those people have been waiting in tents for hours and hours lined up in the streets of Orlando to get into the rally tonight when President Trump will announce his candidacy for the 2020 presidential election. Sandy Rios with you. Pretty interesting stuff, because we're being told the president is way behind in the polls. They keep telling us that he's losing everywhere, you see, but 100,000 people are trying to get into that rally that holds 20,000 only. And they're actually staying in tents overnight in the rain to try to get in. But, you know, that doesn't really mean anything, according to our pundits. Let me just tell you a couple of practical things. First of all, I should underscore, you heard those women saying that's the walkaway movement. Remember that? Candace Owens and others were working on that. It was a gay Democrat who started that movement. To get people to walk away from the Democratic Party because it's gone so far afield. And it actually gained a lot of traction. And you can see that. I mean, I realize that's not a statistic, the three women in the tent, but it's pretty significant that they're there, in support of President Trump because they walked away from the Democratic Party. I think that's interesting. The Trump campaign is really going full bore, as you can imagine. They are announcing tonight the beginning of their campaign. Brad Pascal is the head of the re-election committee for President Trump. And from all accounts to me, he seems like a pretty he's on top of things. So we'll see. I don't know him personally yet. But the war chest for the presidential re-election campaign is $40 million, which is amazing. And combined with the Republican National Committee, they have $82 million as of April. I would just say, if you're inclined to help with elections financially, I would give to a campaign and not to the Republican Party. That's just what I'm saying. I would give to an individual who's running, who you support, and not to a party, either party, because you can be more assured that the people that you support will use that money more faithfully. You're never sure where it's going to go when it's going into this big tank. But the president is really well-financed, needless to say. Now, they keep saying that his approval rating has been hovering at 42%. Maybe so. I've seen it hover higher than that. I don't know. Everything, you know, it's the thing of it is, how do we know what to believe? I spend my life, you know, gathering information and trying to figure out which sources to believe. I will never forget the 2016 election when we were told that There's no way, President. There's no way, Donald Trump. Are you kidding me? Donald Trump is never going to win. We heard that every night. We heard how far ahead Hillary Clinton was in the polls. And that's why it's just a little tough for us to believe when we hear the pundits tell us repeatedly that the president is behind in every poll. Well, of course, there was a back and forth between President Trump and George Stephanopoulos. George, little snarky George, of course, said he always seems so nice. He's such a nice guy, George. George is not such a nice guy. He's very deceptive with his niceness. And that's the thing that you and I have to be most concerned about. That's the most dangerous people are the ones who paint on the niceness. And George, I think, is a dangerous person. He is a Clinton partisan. There's no question about it. He's a partisan of the left. And don't ever think for a minute that he had President Trump's best interest or just wanted to report the facts about the interview with President Trump that was aired on Sunday night in its entirety. And so this little portion of it,
I don't believe those polls. There's no way he beats me in Texas.
But even your own polls show you're behind right now, don't they?
No. My polls show that I'm winning everywhere.
I don't know. We've all seen these reports that 15 out of 17 states, you spent $2 million on a poll and you're behind in 15 out of 17 states.
Nobody showed you those polls because those polls don't exist, George. Those polls don't exist. But I just had a meeting with somebody that's a pollster, and I'm winning everywhere.
Oh, very, very interesting. That's, of course, the little snitty George Stephanopoulos setting the president up. George is the worst kind of leftist because he is so nice. He's just so very nice. And so in the middle of those, 36 hours, more than a day that he spent with the president in Air Force One and in the limo and in the Oval Office where the president gave him more time than he'd given any reporter, George slips into that conversation the truth that some internal pollster of the president's had leaked information, at least to George, about President Trump's internal polls. And President Trump didn't even seem to know about those internal polls. And it turns out that those internal polls were taken in March and that the scenario that was polled was the worst possible potential scenario for President Trump. So not only are the polls old, but they were part of a configuration. What if this is this, then what? If this is this, then what? It was the worst possible scenario for the president. So as a result of that, the president has fired some of his internal pollsters because they're not trustworthy. Seems to keep happening, doesn't it? By the way, Sandy Rios faculty, if you're wondering about why I sound like I sound, it's because we have lost our connection this morning, and so I'm talking to you by phone. So I'm sorry about that, but we just couldn't fix it quickly enough. And so hopefully you can hear me, and we're going to carry on business as usual because I have so much to tell you. I mentioned that the president's war chest is really powerful. He's got a great team. He's announcing his reelection tonight. There are 100,000 people, at least, who, as of yesterday, who tried to get tickets to this rally tonight. So, and yet they want to tell us that nobody likes President Trump. I mean, it's just obvious no one likes him. In fact, Peter Ducey had a report last night about the polls. Let's listen to clip one.
My name's Joe Biden.
Joe Biden hasn't won a single primary or caucus, but he's already circling red states on a map of the Electoral College.
I plan on campaigning in the South. I plan, and if I'm your nominee, winning Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, believe it or not. And I believe we can win Texas and Florida if you look at the polling data now. Doesn't mean it's a marathon. It's a long way off.
Florida is always a swing state, but Texas, Trump won by 9 points. And South Carolina, Trump won by 14. Biden's lead over other Democrats has been steady for months as Bernie Sanders struggles, down 10 points since March.
Well, I explained it in the sense that polls go up and polls go down. But the other part of the poll, if I heard you correctly, Chris, is that I am beating President Trump fairly decisively, which is consistent with all of the polling that I have seen. I think, frankly, I am the strongest candidate to defeat Trump.
So says Bernie. So he thinks he's the strongest candidate to beat President Trump. And Joe Biden, according to everyone who's reporting, is way far ahead because we all know what a competent statesman Joe Biden is. I mean, I remember that former Secretary of Defense said of Joe Biden, he was a nice guy who was wrong on everything. I think if the truth comes out about Joe Biden, the real truth about him, he is a bumbler. I can hardly comprehend that he's so far ahead in the polls. The only thing I can figure out is that Joe Biden is perceived by Democrats as because he comes across. Again, he's like George Stephanopoulos, Mr. He's nice. Oh, shucks, he's nice. He's from Pennsylvania, Scranton, he keeps telling us. Just, oh, shucks. And so he's a nice guy, but the trouble is he isn't a nice guy. He is now talking, as a matter of fact, about the radical, about a radical change in the United States government. He's all about now abortion. He's all about everything that he once said he was against. He's terrible in the Middle East. He thinks China's not a threat to us. It's really hard for me to comprehend, except for the ignorance of the American people, that Joe Biden would be ahead in any kind of poll. And yet here we have it. So we're going to talk about this. And meanwhile, over the weekend, sorry, I'm having trouble hearing, so just limp along with us here. Meanwhile, over the weekend, there were these rallies all over the country. Impeach Trump, they said. Impeach Trump. How'd that go? We're going to talk about it when we return. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings. $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your healthcare. And when it comes to healthcare sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
This is Pause to Pray, a moment to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Johnny Collette, Assistant Secretary for the Office of Special Education and Rehabilitative Services. Mr. Collette advises on matters related to the education of children and youth with disabilities, as well as employment for youth and adults with disabilities. Philippians 2:4 reminds us of the importance of working to help others. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to lift up Johnny Collette as he works to better the lives of Americans with disabilities. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. A barbecue joint on a mission. That story coming up.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Paul Kizito. I'm a junior biology major here at Truett McConnell, and I came from Uganda. What I love about TMU is number one is the heart of, you know, of just the school and the love for God, for Christ. You can see it once you step on the campus. Like, you can see it's best, like, the foundation for TMU is Christianity.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
The very first Mission Barbecue opened on the 10-year anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Bill Krause and Steve Newton wanted to build a business that reminded folks about how lucky we are to be living in the greatest country in the world. And it doesn't get much more patriotic than honoring our military and eating barbecue. Today, they have 80 restaurants, and every day at noon, every Mission Barbecue shuts down to observe the national anthem. Their sole mission is to proudly serve those who serve, lending a helping hand to our military and their families. Recently on Fox and Friends, Mr. Krause and Mr. Newton presented a check for more than $1 million to the USO. There's no doubt Mission Barbecue loves ribs and brisket, but they love our country even more. And that's a mission worth saluting. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And obviously the people before us that accomplished all this.
I'll tell you to go back to Kenya next.
These guys come up to me and they say, you know, go back to Fox News to pick cotton. They say, go back to Kenya. This is who these people are. They know that with our reports and exposing the poverty and the failure of policies that all these Democrat cities have been doing to many people that look like me, they don't want this to be exposed. They believe that all black people need to think it the same way. They want us to stay on the welfare system so we can't progress in life. And I'm going to expose it every single day. If they think that I'm going to stand down because they yelled obscene things to me, they got another thing coming. We're going to double down. We're going to go to all these liberal cities.
Okay, that was Lawrence Jones on Fox News, and he's talking about Lawrence, of course, is a Fox News contributor, and he is used to be with Campus Reform. He's a black intellectual, and he went out to the impeached Trump rallies that took place over the weekend. And it's amazing. You heard what how he described how he was treated. I told him to go back to Fox News and pick cotton. And then another one told him to go back to Africa. It's just amazing because, you know, this is the left, and they're so concerned about racism. I mean, they are the gold standard for the lack of racism, right? And, of course, I love the phrase that George W. Bush used to say, the bigotry of soft expectation. And now, I mean, he was really right about that. The left has no expectations of people of color because, after all, they're not capable. And that's, but you can see, and you know, I observed this myself. So many people on the hard left, because I know lots of them, don't really have relationships with people of other races. So I'll talk to them, or they live in places that have no people of color, and they talk big. I'll tell you, Maryland, Chevy Chase, Maryland, is a great example of that. It's a beautiful, gorgeous, all of these businesses and homes, and that's kind of the seed of liberal thinking in Maryland. But let me tell you, there's hardly any minorities in Maryland. Minnesota, go to the beautiful state of Minnesota with all its lakes. Except for the pockets of Muslims that are isolated here and there, Minnesota's pretty white. But Minnesota is, they are champions for racism and all kinds of things because they don't really live in multicultural neighborhoods. And so I'm saying that they don't ever enrich communities of color in the truest way by making them equal citizens, equal partners. By expecting of them what they expect of themselves, they would rather give themselves because, you know, they can't really, you know. And so that's the left. That is the left. While the right says, no, okay, we're gonna talk about equality. We are all the same. We are all Americans. The same standards. The same standards to get into schools. The same standards for applying to jobs. A colorblind community. Colorblind Americans like Martin Luther King Jr., laid out for us, but that's not what the left does. And so as Lawrence went through that crowd, that's how he was treated. Isn't that something? He was actually just asking them about impeaching Trump, how they felt about that, and they gave him various answers. Of course, Trump colluded with the Russians. I don't know if they actually watched the news, or I guess they watched Rachel Maddow, and they're not sure. Well, how did those impeach Trump rallies go over the weekend? Well, we know that it was organized by MoveOn.org, and this is how they advertised it. Events will be visible, family-friendly, public gatherings to demonstrate to our representatives that impeachment is the will of the people. Together, we will inform our communities about Trump's abuses and the process of impeachment and make plans to convey our support for impeachment to our elected officials. So they also reached out to nearly 24 groups, which included the Women's March, to host more than 130 protest events in cities across the country. So how did that go? Well, here's how it went. Pictures on social media that were posted show that about just dozens of activists showed up at most rallies, maybe a few hundred in the larger liberal cities, maybe in New York where Lawrence was, but not well attended at all. And yet we are told President Trump is behind in the polls. Everybody wants him impeached. That's what you're told. And just remember, we are awash in propaganda. I don't know what's true and what isn't sometimes, I have to tell you, but I think for those of you that are hoping that America remains its intrinsic continues with its intrinsic values, its constitution, and the structures that our founding fathers worked so hard to establish, I think you should be encouraged. I don't think there is a reason to listen to their reports and believe them. Now, if 2020 comes and we get a different outcome, if Kirsten Gillibrand becomes our president, the cheerleader, silly valley girl, and you know embraces these ridiculous policies, we're in trouble. But I'd say until the next morning of that election, I would say believe the best and work as hard as you can for a good outcome. I was at a meeting last week, another meeting in D.C., and there were all kinds of plans being made about all kinds of things. A think tank, as it were, how to address the serious problems that we face, whether it's the loss of free speech, a loss of religious freedom, whether it is judges, whatever. You just fill in the blank because there are plenty of problems. The social issues that we have lost ground on, the transgender issue, all of that, huge discussions, big ideas about everything. And then the point was made, which I adhere to, if President Trump is not elected in 2020, if any of the Democratic candidates win that election, none of that stuff is going to be going to matter. There will be no discussion. For the next at least 4 years, the ground that Americans who love this country will lose will be immeasurable. I think about the damage that Barack Obama did in his 8 years. It's just astounding, really. How much of our civil liberties and our freedoms he eroded, how he destroyed the middle class as best he could by all these regulations, destroyed small businesses, and did so many destructive things so successfully. So I'm telling you that the gains that President Trump has made, in spite of the opposition, will be reversed immediately. So all these grand plans won't really matter. Nevertheless, we continue to talk and we are optimistic as best we can be about the future of our country, and we will continue to work on that. Several things I wanted to tell you by way of follow-up. We have reason to be encouraged today. There are three that encouraged me. I'll tell you the first one. Anybody remember the name Catherine Engelbrecht? Catherine was the founder in Texas of King Street Patriots. She was also then the founder of True the Vote. Catherine and her husband owned a very successful business, but had never been involved in politics ever when the Tea Party movement began. And they started King Street Patriots, and they brought their incredible expertise in organizing and understanding systems and how to do things to True the Vote, which began to go through systematically hire staff and equip people to go through voter registration in various states to try to clean up the rolls. Well, what happened to Catherine, she is exhibit A of what happened to a lot of other people, but she and her husband came under investigation by at least four federal agencies. They were visited by a SWAT team. They were raided by the FBI. And then the final blow, there were other agencies. I think it was OSHA. Yeah, it was OSHA. And the other agency was the IRS. And the IRS opened up these audits as though Catherine and her husband were criminals. And the IRS under Lois Lerner, of course, you will remember, targeted then not just Catherine, but any Tea Party group. And as the Tea Party groups were forming and trying to set up 501c3, that's education organizations, which would be tax-free because people were scraping together money to do these kinds of Tea Parties. Of course, the Tea Party rose up in response to Obamacare, which was just a travesty, pushed through Congress on Christmas Eve. Nancy Pelosi famously saying, we'll know what's in it after we pass it. So the Tea Party formed out of that, an anger, an intrinsic anger of the American people over what Congress was doing and what the Obama administration was doing. So the IRS, not to be outdone, decided to weaponize itself against American citizens. And, of course, they subpoenaed, we want to know who all your speakers were. Who are all your members? What are their addresses? What are their numbers? And everyone was opened up for audit. And then, of course, tax-free status, 501c3 status was denied or held up for years. And the Tea Party was strangled, almost out of existence. So Catherine really took the brunt of this. She, again, is the exhibit A of what happened to many people. And Catherine and her husband went through a terrible ordeal. I can tell you that personally because I know Catherine. And it's been 10 years since Catherine has been fighting this in court. You might remember that she, along with Becky, can't think of her last name. She was from Alabama. She was one of the Tea Party persons in Alabama who was targeted. They testified before Congress, she and Catherine. And Cleta Mitchell represented them. And Congress, of course, the hearings were incredible. But of course, they did nothing. They didn't care. They were quite pleased with themselves. So Catherine's been fighting her particular part of this in court for 10 years. And yesterday, the Supreme Court finally handed them a victory. They won this battle. The judge ordered the agency, tax agency, the IRS, to pay all the legal fees for Catherine Engelbrecht and True the Vote. And so this is what Catherine says. True the Vote, a nonpartisan conservative election integrity group that fought a decade-long battle with the IRS, won a major decision in federal court and shall be awarded maximum attorney fees. This is a huge victory for every American who thinks that they can't go up against the government and get what they deserve. And so yesterday, I just wanted to tell you, also, we had more good news. This would be, you remember Aaron and Melissa Klein. They were the bakers in Oregon. The first case that I think, after gay marriage was instated, who refused to bake a cake for a same-sex wedding and were sued. Oregon went after them with a vengeance. They were a young couple. They had like 5 children, and they weren't wealthy. And the human rights organization out there, whatever the exact name of it is, the Civil Rights Commission in Oregon went after them, fined them $135,000, and then put a gag order on them. They weren't allowed to speak about it. They had to be silent. And so Aaron and Melissa lost their business. They went through hell and back. They did. Very sweet. Melissa and Aaron both. They're just an incredible couple. Well, they just won. The Supreme Court on Monday reversed Oregon's decision to penalize them for exercising their free speech. I'll read this from the First Liberty press release. Today, the Supreme Court of the United States announced that it reversed the decision, the state of Oregon, that forced bakers, Aaron and Melissa Klein, out of business by penalizing them $135,000 for refusing to create a government-approved message. The case was sent back to the Oregon courts for further review. In light of its masterpiece cake shop versus Colorado Civil Rights Commission case. Now, here's the thing. You probably know that Jack of Masterpiece Cake Shop has been now sued again because he refused to bake a cake that celebrated some transgender transition to another gender. So he's been sued again, and we'll see what happens with that case. And, of course, the Supreme Court, when they had the chance under Justice Roberts to really settle this once and for all, did not. They landed on a very limited opinion in regard to Jack and Masterpiece Cake Shop, but it was enough for them to send this back to Oregon. Now, some are speculating that Oregon is not going down lightly, but they will think of some other reason to sue the Kleins, and it'll probably end up in the Supreme Court again. And part of the reason, of course, is Justice Roberts, I have an article which I have to find in a second. Justice Roberts has been described as the justice, and this is pretty much universal among conservatives who watch the court, that he is the justice who is so very concerned about what the headlines say about him and the so-called Roberts Court. And so he feels the need to make sure that people know that he's not political, that this is all based on law. And the danger is, of course, that he has made some terrible decisions that don't seem to be based on law at all, that seem to be based on the fact that he's trying to prove that he's so open-minded and not the conservative that they think he is. And so that's the problem. We have, we, meaning conservatives, have a 5-4 majority on paper. Republicans have nominated 5 of the justices, and 4 have been nominated by the Democrats, and they're quite liberal, from Ruth Bader Ginsburg all the way to Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan and Stephen Breyer, and that's the 4 right there. They're all extremely liberal. Ruth Bader Ginsburg wants to do away with the Constitution. She's been very clear about that. How in the world she ever got confirmed to the Supreme Court by, I think, 98 or 99 senators, Republicans thought it was fine to have a justice on the court who wanted to destroy the American Constitution, when it's the job of justices on the Supreme Court to defend the Constitution and to interpret everything that comes their way in light of that Constitution. Nevertheless, Ruth Bader Ginsburg made it on the court, and John Roberts wants to make sure that you know the court is nonpartisan. Remember the dust stuff we got into with President Trump last year, when President Trump said, it's an Obama judge is ruling against me, and Roberts shot back, there are no Obama judges, we are apolitical. And President Trump shot back, oh yes, there are, sir. You may not be aware of it, but there are definitely Obama judges. All right, more after this. Sorry about the connection. We've lost it this morning, and so that's why I'm talking to you on my phone, of all things. I hope you can hear.
You shall teach them diligently to your children. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. The Cartoon Network, the popular television channel watched by millions of children, promoted LGBT Pride Month by using one of its widely popular shows to encourage fans to stand proud. The network tweeted its support, saying, "We want to wish everyone a happy Pride and encourage all our LGBTQ+ fans to stand proud all year long." The tweet also included a picture from its popular reboot show, Powerpuff Girls. The Cartoon Network is owned by Warner Brothers. If we're not committed to evangelizing and discipling our children according to the Lord's word, someone else will disciple them according to their word.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
This is a unique moment in the history of our country where we have an opportunity to restore the foundations of this nation.
Tony Perkins of Washington Watch.
To a nation that once again honors God. It will not happen unless God's people are informed and engaged.
Join Tony Perkins for Washington Watch. Weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evening at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
J. Warner Wallace.
I think we're blessed as Christians that we don't believe something that's not rooted in history. We believe something that had to actually occur. As Paul said, if the resurrection didn't actually occur in history, we're to be pitied. And that's the beautiful thing about Christianity, is it's something you can actually investigate. I'm grateful for that, because as an investigator, that's exactly how I came to faith.
The Marriage, Family, and Life Conference is coming June 20th through the 22nd. Learn more and register at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Police in Miami Beach, Florida, arrested a woman over the weekend when she was spotted stomping on a sea turtle nest and jabbing it with a wooden stake. The woman faces a criminal charge for, quote, turtle egg molestation or harassment, end quote. The sea turtle was protected as an endangered species in 1973, which means unborn sea turtles gained protection the same year that unborn babies lost theirs. Planned Parenthood currently gets $500 million a year to operate abortion clinics. Bottom line, destroy unborn sea turtles, go to jail. Destroy unborn babies, get rich. Speaking of the sea turtle, the Miami Beach police said, thankfully, it appears the eggs were not damaged. The same can't be said for unborn babies.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Yesterday, one of the most consequential men in public life, my friend Tony Perkins, was elected to chair the vital U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. Praise God. The USURF press release announcing the election of the Family Research Council's president signaled the quality of Tony's leadership. It declared that he was adopting Leah Sharabu and will work to free her, as he tirelessly and successfully did for another prisoner of conscience long held by Turkey, Pastor Andrew Brunson. Given his great influence with President Trump, this priority may not only help save Leah, a Nigerian girl enslaved by the terrorist group Boko Haram because she refuses to renounce her Christian faith. As Leah's mother, Rebecca, who is in Washington this week, yearns to impress upon Mr. Trump and his team, unless America acts, every Nigerian Christian faces a similar fate. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
The hardest is usually Congress. I find Congress more difficult, frankly, than many of the foreign leaders. There's so many things like the border. The border should be done, George. The border, the Democrats should come in 15 minutes to an hour, we can have it all solved. It's so simple.
I wanted to tell you about another victory on Friday. I think the president, you heard that short clip at the beginning of the segment, where the president was talking to George Stephanopoulos, and he was saying, I've had more trouble with congressmen than I've had with world leaders. Pretty pithy. The president is just, as much as they say he's a liar, he is not. He's just an amazingly honest person. He doesn't speak carefully sometimes. That's a fact. He doesn't get details sometimes right because he's a big thinker. So they take that, they like to accuse him of dishonesty. I think in his interview with George Stephanopoulos, he was just disarmingly honest. And one of those things was that Congress is harder to work with than hostile foreign powers. And I think he's right about that. So let me just say that in regard to that, the president had a pretty good victory on Friday. This is not in the courts. This is a decision by the Justice Department that said Congress does not have the right to see his tax return. Hans von Spakovsky has written about this. He's done a great article, which we will post because he explains it in greater detail. But he says that the provision of the tax code that Democrats are seeking to use to get Trump's tax returns could also be used to get the tax returns of other Americans as well. And should Trump lose his fight to keep his tax returns confidential? The Democrats are attacking the Justice Department now as a political document designed to protect the president. Yet, in fact, the reason Democrats want to see the Trump tax returns is blatantly political. And so I will commend Hans's article on that for further discussion. But that's for right now, the president had a win in the Justice Department decision. I want to tell you some follow-up about Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I mentioned the treatment that she's getting after stepping down. Oh, man, and I'm so sad about that. I think Sarah is brilliant. She deserves a wonderful future, and yet the left is determined that she's not going to have it. I read yesterday this admonition to people to go after Sarah, to a letter to CEOs, don't you dare hire her. She doesn't deserve any kind of a job. You shouldn't hire her anyway. Okay, Sandy Rios, back with you. Can you believe it? If you're still with me, then I'm really impressed and grateful to you that you want to listen that badly. I was talking about the treatment of Sarah Huckabee Sanders before she resigned and since she resigned. It is really disgusting. You know, Sarah is nothing but a lady, brilliant, principled, and yet they make fun of her the way she looks. They make fun of the way she talks. They call her a liar. It's amazing. I told you yesterday the reason they do that is because she is such a powerhouse. The people that receive the worst criticism and become under attack the most are the people who are the ones you should love. Let me just say, I used to say this. Many of my best friends have been put in jail or arrested or have had charges made against them because they are such principled people. That's the nature of our world, so just keep that in mind. But there's Independent Women's Forum has done a little expose tracking what has been said about Sarah since she resigned. Jim Carrey says, good riddance, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Now the only one you have to lie to is Jesus. MSNBC analyst Matthew Miller, I don't want to sound rude or kind of flip, but good riddance. I hope that she's not able to escape the White House and move on to whatever she does in life without kind of the shame and stigma that is associated with her following for the rest of her career. Bachelor producer Andrew Kimmel on ABC. Dear all media entertainment outlets, do not have Sarah Sanders on your show. Do not put her on Dancing with the Stars. Do not have her surprise the audience at the Emmys. Do not invite her onto Saturday Night Live. And then last but not least, the CNN headline said Sarah Sanders failed at almost every aspect of the job. And, of course, you know that whatever they say, the opposite is true. So God bless Sarah and keep her. And we know that God can bring things into her life that they can't stop. And that's what we're praying for, that God does his best work in that situation on her behalf. A couple of other things. I actually cannot tell you all the stories about immigration I wanted to. Maybe I'll save that for tomorrow. But here I'll go to this. My Little Pony, how many of your kids like My Little Pony? My granddaughter does. She loves the little, she's got one, a couple of them. She just loves them. So you'll be happy to know that lesbian ponies are now coming to Discovery Family Kids Show. Lesbian ponies. A writer, Michael Vogel, is really excited. It's going to be two girls, Auntie Holiday and Auntie Loft, and he's made no bones about the fact that they're lesbians. Turns out he's gay, and he's very concerned that his cause be advanced, and so everybody seems willing to let him advance it. But if your children watch My Little Pony, you might want to reconsider what you let them watch. And that reminds me, you know, of our Ryan DeFrady series. I have to say, I thank God for American Family Studios for producing such a fine cartoon that's available to your kids. And this is a good time to say Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent is a great substitute for My Little Pony. And then about the time you get a little discouraged, there are people who stand strong. And I want to give you an example of this. We have had a whole smattering of transgender athletes who have, male to female primarily have been in the news because they've been winning women's sports competitions. One just won the NCAA Women's Track and Field Championship. And I want you to hear what he, not she, had to say. Let's listen.
Anything, me competing against cisgender females is a disadvantage because my body is going through so many medical implications. Like, it's going through biochemistry changes. So being on, you know, hormone replacement therapy, it gives you, your muscle depletion, your muscle is deteriorating. You lose a lot of strength because, you know, testosterone is where you get your strength, your agility, all of that athletic stuff. So I have to work twice as hard to keep that strength. And if I slack a day, that's like 3 days set behind. So I have to continue. I have to keep up my workouts. I have to keep on top of all my things. I can't drink. I can't, like, eat unhealthy or else it's going to impact me harder.
All right. Enough of that. So you see, I've seen pictures of him. He's got, you know, dreadlocks, and he's obviously a man. But he's on hormones, and he thinks he's a woman. So it makes it okay for him to compete and win and beat the women in the competition and that they have worked so hard their lives for. Just it's wrong. And about the time you think sanity has left the building, you can be encouraged because this encouraged me. USA Powerlifting is facing a discrimination complaint in Minnesota over its transgender athlete policy. After it said that J.C. Cooper, a biological man, could not compete in women's events, the Federation's president, man, I'm telling you, he's probably in for a wild ride. His name is Larry Mayo. He says at some point we're going to have to defend the biology and stand on women being a protected class, and it might as well start in Minnesota. The policy is not new, but the Federation commissioned a group of experts to find out if it's backed by science. They had a dispute with this Cooper who said it was unfair not to allow men to compete with women, at least men who thought they were women. So Gender Justice filed this complaint with the Minnesota Department of Human Rights last week on behalf of Cooper, asserting that the policy illegally discriminates against people on the basis of gender identity. And so it's proceeding, but let me just read U.S. Powerlifting, again with their president, Larry Mayall, says it has turned five people away for transition-related reasons since 2015. He also said it's propaganda language. He said gender justice says we have been charged. That is propaganda language. You are charged in a criminal court. Not only is that not the case, but they have filed a complaint with the Human Rights Commission, and we get to answer it. If the commission rushes to judgment, we will litigate it for denial of due process. In other words, it's not in courts yet. It's just somebody complaining, and we get to respond to the complaint. So, male, the president says, to allow those born and who went through puberty as males to compete as females would be inherently discriminatory against a federally protected class, women. Anyway, it goes on and on. It makes a great deal of sense, and isn't that refreshing? That's Minnesota, not exactly the bastion of conservatism. And that, by the way, is an article in the Daily Caller by Rachel Stolfitz, and we'll put that on our Facebook page so that you can see it. There were so many things in immigration. Let me see if I can recall by memory, because I had to move, I had to change my location. But let me just say the president is saying now that lots of illegal immigrants who have made their way into this country are now going to be deported. They're going to start that right away. So we're watching to see. Also, Ken Cuccinelli is really making his mark as the new head of Customs and Border Patrol. And Ken is saying that they're going to do a sweep through all the agencies to make sure that no illegal immigrant is receiving taxpayer-funded goods and services. And if people are allowing that to happen, they'll have to pay back the government for that. So Ken Cuccinelli is making his mark. We'll talk more about that when we can. Hey, thanks for listening this morning under the circumstances. I appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow in full capacity. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Faith, family, freedom. American Family Radio.